We know what happened. Is that any better? Okay. We know what happened. We know the story so well that it's easy to forget how confusing this must have been for Mary Magdalene and the disciples who were living it. But try thinking about it from their perspective. You ever have one of those weeks where nothing seems to go right? This has been one of those weeks for the disciples. Last week, Jesus went into the capital city of Jerusalem like a prince to a coronation. It was a triumphant parade. Jesus was going to be the king, going to kick out the Roman occupiers and establish God's kingdom here on earth. And then everything went wrong. The crowds that had welcomed Jesus abandoned him, disillusioned. One of his own disciples, one of his inner circle, betrayed him to his enemies. He was arrested, put through a sham trial, beaten and mocked. There was a brief glimmer of hope for his release when Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, offered to let him go. But the crowds called for his death, yelling, "Crucify him." On Friday, just before the celebration of Passover, one of the biggest holidays of the year, Jesus was crucified, executed in the worst way possible. Jesus was dead. Everything had gone wrong. And then it was the Sabbath, supposed to be the day of rest. For the disciples, for all of Jesus' followers, I'm sure that it was not very restful. They were in shock. Jesus, the one they thought was the Son of God, was dead. Obviously, they must have been wrong. Maybe he was just a great human teacher. Maybe not even that. Maybe he was just a common criminal, a rebel, a revolutionary who deserved to die. One of their own had betrayed him, and who knew if they themselves were in danger as the followers of an executed criminal. But it was the Sabbath, so they waited. And then, early the next morning, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb, and something else is wrong. The heavy stone that had been protecting the tomb is gone. And Mary's first thought is not, "Wow, Jesus is alive again." No, her first thought is that something else has gone wrong. Someone has broken into the tomb, maybe stolen Jesus' body. Why can't they just leave him alone? So Mary goes and gets Peter, who's having a pretty lousy weekend too, after denying Jesus 3 times. And she gets his other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, presumably John, and they run to the tomb to see for themselves. I don't know what's going through their heads as they run, but it's kind of fun to speculate. Are they just upset that something else has gone wrong? Do they have that glimmer of hope that maybe, just maybe, Jesus is alive? Do they not believe Mary, that they need to go look for themselves? The other disciple outruns Peter and gets there first, but he doesn't go in. He just looks. Then Peter comes and goes right into the tomb. And it's not just that the tomb is empty, but the grave clothes are lying there. There's no question that they might be confused and have the wrong tomb or anything like that. The linen wrappings are there, but the body is not. Now here's the part that I don't quite get from this story. The two disciples go in, look, believe, and come out. And then they leave and they go home. There's a hole in the story. What about Mary? Did they just tell her, "Oh, he's risen from the dead," and leave? Did they look in, figure it out, decide to go home and leave her behind? We don't know. But they go home and Mary stays. Maybe they told her, but she wasn't ready to believe, to jump to that conclusion that just because the body's gone, Jesus must be alive. Maybe they just walked out in shock right past her. Regardless, Mary does not understand. She stays outside the tomb and she weeps. Nothing is going right. And as she weeps, she looks in, and surprise, the tomb is not empty after all, at least not entirely. There are two people inside who want to know why she's weeping. So she begins to tell them what's going on and how everything's still going wrong. "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And for everything she's been through this week, Mary is actually remarkably rational. The logical conclusion from an empty tomb is not resurrection. It's that someone's moved or stolen the body. So she turns around, and there's a guy standing there who looks like he might be a gardener. He too asks her why she's weeping. Can you hear the frustration in her voice? This time she doesn't even try to explain. She jumps straight to asking, "Where have you taken him? Where's the body?" And it never occurs to her that the one to whom she's speaking is Jesus, the one she's looking for. He's standing right in front of her, and she has no idea. Why doesn't Mary recognize Jesus? Because she's looking for a dead body. She knows how this works. Once someone's dead, that's it. They're dead. How could this person talking to her in the garden possibly be Jesus? And then he says her name, Mary. And she recognizes him, and everything changes. Now, even though you and I know the end of the story, it's easy to understand Mary's confusion. We're here this morning celebrating that our Savior is risen, celebrating Jesus' victory over death, but we don't always see that victory. Our experience doesn't always match up with what we say that we believe. The world is still broken, still messed up. There's concerns over civil war in Ukraine. This week, there were almost 300 people, many of them children, dead or missing from a ferry in South Korea. You don't need me to run through a list of everything going wrong in the world. And yet, here we are this morning, here early in the morning to proclaim that Christ is risen, that we serve a living Savior. The miracle of Christianity, the unique claim that sets us apart from everyone else, is that we claim that God has become one of us. The fancy church word for it, you've heard, incarnation. The infinite, all-powerful God who created everything comes into the world as a human. Jesus, God's only Son, lived in our messed up and broken world. I know the snow outside is finally gone, but let me mix up what holidays is for a second and talk about Christmas. One of the words we use at Christmas is Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, as Pastor Jeff likes to say, Jesus is God with skin on. These last few days, as we've gone through the journey to the cross, we've focused on just how fully that's true, how fully God has come into the world. We've heard about Jesus being welcomed on Palm Sunday, betrayed and abandoned by his closest friends, arrested, beaten, mocked, and eventually killed. When God comes into the world, he doesn't do it halfway. He comes all the way in, even into the worst parts of our reality, the worst parts of our lives. Jesus is 100% certifiably fully human. From a theological perspective, I understand why Good Friday is important, but I've wondered at times about Easter. We talk a lot about how you and I are sinful people who need a Savior, but Jesus has paid the penalty for our sins by dying on the cross. We separate ourselves from God by our sin, but God reconciles us to himself through the cross. Christianity's good news is that you are forgiven because Jesus died for your sins. God loves you enough to die for you on the cross. And absolutely, that's all completely true. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. But that's Good Friday. That's the Good Friday story. So what are we doing here early in the morning on Sunday? Why do we need Easter when our faith is so focused on the significance of the cross? So that Christian story is that God entered into our world and lived among us. Jesus lived and died as a human being like us. But he didn't stop with dying. The culmination of the incarnation is resurrection. Christ lived and died as one of us, but he didn't stay dead. And as we just read in Colossians, that means we too can be raised with Christ. I think I understand better now why we need Easter. We need Easter because Easter means we can have hope. We have hope that our world can be better. We have hope that in a world full of tragedies, there is something better. We have hope that resurrection defeats death. That's what today is about. Easter is about death not getting the last word. Tragedy is real, but tragedy does not win. Death is not the end of the story. Yes, you and I will still die, but we know because of the resurrection that God has overcome death. Christ is risen, and we are raised with Christ. The closing hymn that we'll sing this morning claims the strife is over, the battle is won, the song of triumph has begun, alleluia. And that's true, but sometimes it doesn't feel like that. We're living right now in the in-between, in the now, but the not yet. Christ has been raised, Easter has happened. The song of triumph has begun, but here we are still living in this broken world. We don't have to understand it all right now. Mary looked in the empty tomb and still had no idea what was going on. Jesus had to tell her before she could understand. But when she gets it, when everything changes for her, Mary has exactly the right reaction. She goes and tells people. Like Peter in the reading from Acts, we have a message to proclaim. We proclaim that the God who loves us so much that he came and lived among us, taking all of our sins onto the cross, rose again so that we too can be raised with Christ. We serve a living, risen Savior. Easter isn't just some abstract religious idea. It's not that some itinerant preacher who lived 2,000 years ago died and that was it. What we celebrate today matters. The resurrection gives hope to our broken world, hope to us living in a world that still has brokenness. Easter gives us hope. Easter changes everything. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to come to us here in our messed up and our broken world, to take our sins, our brokenness, our despair, shame, our hopelessness, to take everything that separates us from you, to take all of that on the cross and put it to death. Thank you for the freedom and the hope that we find here in the resurrection. Thank you for loving us so much that you refuse to leave us where we are. Thank you for Easter. It is in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we can say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.